From our reading today, Paul meekly tells us that he is a person who takes action for reconciliation. And he loved these church at Corinth, and his integrity was at stake, so he had to do something about it. And as he was an apostle, he helped plant the church, and so he had to really restate his credentials, who he was, that he was the apostle, and that he had a proper Christian. And so the beautiful letter, he argues for it. So we're just going to go through it a little bit and see how his action and the reality about it. Sometimes we're caught in a time bind at times, and we've got to give credibility about ourselves, why we took that position, eh? And so this is Paul's stand here. And I've called this the three-man sermon, the three-man. And when I say man, I also mean the three-woman, or the three persons. So just think about that background too, the three man. And he says first, I am an old man. And 2 Corinthians 5, 1-5. Then he says, I'm a faith man. And the third one is, I'm a new man. Hey, an old man, a faith man, and a new man. And because he's going through lots of issues. A little bit of background about him. He was born in Tarsus. His parents had gained the Roman citizenship, and he did get it himself afterwards, and he was trained and studied under the rabbi Gamaliel in Jerusalem. So he was pretty cluey that way. But on the road to Damascus, he was going to torment those Christians, persecute them, put them in jail. And the Lord struck him with a brighter light than this light here and knocked him off his high horse. And down he fell, and he straight away he knew. He said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard to kick against your conscience. And so for 3 days he lost his sight and wandering around. And then and someone came along and said, Brother Saul, hey, the Lord has sent me to heal you. And his hands were put on his eyes and he could see. And so it was a great story of conversion. Corinth, where he wrote the letter, it was about AD 55 he wrote the letter. And that was pretty immoral town, very worldly. And so that was the general context. Now the media context is that, well, he founded this church. He loved this church. He'd been there about 18 months helping it, building it up with Priscilla and Aquila. And somehow he had dealt with one particular issue in the family church. And then he comes another one. There's some false apostles that really don't think he's fair dinkum. They really think he's not the real deal. And so Paul says, well, I'm going to talk about myself. I may come across I'm bragging and boasting. I may sound like a madman, but I am the real deal. Sometimes we've got to face reality, eh? When someone says negative things about us, we've got to face reality. This is the real deal, brother, sister, and on with you go. So Paul says one of the great things about... So he gives a three-man answer. And one of the greatest things about 2 Corinthians 5 is that it's a beautiful and one of the clearest summary of the substitutionary atonement of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? It means that Christ died for you and me, and he was pure. He's the Lamb of God. We sung about it, the Agnus Dei, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Beautiful passage there in 18 to 20. So what's Paul's stand? Okay, he says, well, I'm going to write, this is what I'm going to say, and we can say it too in our issues. I am an old man. I'm an old person. What does that mean? Well, yes, we are aging naturally, physically. When you get up in the morning, and the aches may come again, from the knees to the back to the shoulders to the wrists, they may come again, like the Apostle Paul. He was a tent maker, and I'm sure he might have had those tent maker's blues when he woke up of a morning, and he knew how to repair tents, and he'd think, oh, my tent, my body needs repairing, really. What am I going to do about it? And so felt his old man, but that was the physical body. And then he started thinking about, oh, the tent. Oh, yes, tent maker. But wasn't it wonderful that there was a tent, a tabernacle, that where the God's presence came down, and for 40 years my people walked through the wilderness, and then they crossed the Jordan into the promised land. That's good to remember when you're feeling like an old man, that your body's aching. And you're spiritually aching because someone is rejecting you. Someone is saying bad things about you. And then the Apostle John also says, that The Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. It was a tent, came down. Jesus came down, lived among us in Bethlehem and Bethlehem, lived among in the out-of-town people at Nazareth. And he came down full of grace and truth, full of glory. And so there's tremendous richness there that Paul fell back upon. I'm sure he would have talked to John about it. Hey, tell me a story about Jesus. I love to hear about it every day. And Paul talks about, yes, my physical man, but he talks about the outward man is getting weak. You know, we're getting not as strong as we used to be as a tent maker. But he says also, there's a spiritual man about us too. The old man, the old ways of living, when I used to torment those Christians, but now I'm not. And he says, and I work really hard to serve the Lord Jesus. And he said, I'm going to boast now to you Corinthians. I'm going to boast to you. And I'm an old man warrior. Sometimes we've got to think that, older people, we've got to say, well, we've been through things that you haven't been through. And we've got things to say that you need to hear. We're having a reality check here. And so he says here in 2 Corinthians 11, 23 to 33, beautiful verses. And he says, am I boasting? Are they servants of Christ? This is the false apostles. I'm a better one. Oh, all right, go for it. I'm talking like a madman, with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings, and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes, less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys and dangers from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from, yes, the Corinthians, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, I like the word perils in these things, the same kind of thing. In toil and hardship, through many sleepless night, many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to fall and I am not indignant? So there shows the love, that Paul has for his work. He's as apostle. Apostle means the sent one, going out and telling the good news. And so he says, look, I want to magnify, I want to exaggerate a little bit my old man apostleship credentials here, Corinthian mob. And so he went on further. I'm going to go a little bit further. He said, I've had a special vision and revelation experience that maybe you haven't had. And he says, I went up to paradise and heard inexpressible words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. He said, I went up there, the seventh heaven. And then he concluded, but I was kept humble because I had a thorn in the flesh. And that kept me humble. And God said to me, well, I won't heal you. Yes, you prayed 3 times, Paul. But here it says in 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. So Paul had to just deal with it, reality, and go in God's grace and truth. And some think he had malaria, little bouts of malaria. Some think his eyesight was troubling him a bit. Some think he had a bit of a stuttering in his speaking, you know. And although he had the knowledge up here, he didn't quite have the voice, the oratory ability. But sometimes we've got to boast in our infirmities, We've got to, I'm weak. Yes, a few things have happened to me. I'm groaning a bit today. I'm groaning about my past, because I'm an old man. But I'm an old man warrior. I'm an old man who's been through a few battles, and therefore Paul would boast in his infirmities, And sometimes we have arthritis. Sometimes we have diabetes. Sometimes we get a bit dizzy, And sometimes our blood pressure gets a bit high. And that makes us groan a bit. But Jesus says, Paul says, let's be real, that's real. But another thing is I'm an old man and I've got something else about being a man, being a woman, being a person, being a God person. And he says, this is the second one I love. He says, I'm an old man, yes, And I'm waiting for this body to go, and I want to get up to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that'll be. But he says, I'm a faith man too. I'm a faith man. What does faith mean? I like what the old preacher says. F-A-I-T-H, for all I take him. F-A-I-T-H, for all I trust him. Hey. And so he says, I'm a faith man, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Hey. And so he had the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hey. Like the beautiful faith chapter in Hebrews chapter 11. And Paul says, well, he didn't say that, but I'm saying it. A faith man is more blessed than doubting Thomas. You know, Thomas asked, look, I want physical proof here, Jesus. If he's Jesus alive, he's risen from the dead, I want to touch the nail prints in his hand. I want to feel that spear that went in his side. And then I'll believe. And one time later, not too long after, Jesus came in the room. He said, Thomas, have a look at my hands here. And feel, put your hand in this side here, and you can feel this, the thrust of the spear. And he said, oh, my Lord and my God. But you know, more blessed than Thomas are we, because he doubted, because we have faith, hey? We believe that. Songs have been sung today about faith. Musicians have been going flat out here. Well done. And because they have faith, hey? They're faith people. We're faith man and woman. And a person has, a faith man has the ambition and aim to do what pleases his Lord and Saviour. We have to try to please the Lord and Saviour, eh? And let me read that 6 to 15, 2 Corinthians 5, 6 to 15. So we are always confident, there's the faith man, woman too, person, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore we make it our aim, our purpose in life, whether at present or absent, to be well pleasing to him. Okay, wonderful. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your conscience, Corinthian countrymen. And he says, we do not commend ourselves again to you. I'm reading from New King James Version, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. What a beautiful poetic rate and rhythm of words there. Wonderful, eh? Tremendous about the substitutionary death of our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for you and me, eh? And he lived and among us there. And that's what faith is. We commend ourselves, and we have hope. And we want to please the Lord Jesus. That's our whole aim, is to please him, to do our best. We do good or bad. I'm glad Paul did say that. We'll have to face the judgment seat and the things that have to come up. What did you do, Keith? Trust God on that day? Oh, yes, well, I got no answer for that. I found out. And so we've got to give an answer, eh, of the things before the judgment seat of Christ. You know, Jesus had to face the judgment seat, a little raised platform, when he was accused by his own people, the Jewish people, and he was before Pontius Pilate. He was on a little raised platform, I suppose about as big as this, and he was asked and he was accused, and that's where he was falsely accused, you know. And Paul is feeling falsely accused here. Sometimes, brethren and sisters, we do get falsely accused, and we've got to just take it and answer the good hope that was in, and reason with the good hope within us, eh? Reason with the good hope that is within us. And a faith man has their ambition and aim to do what pleases his Lord and Saviour. A faith man person is humble to know that deep in their hearts they know that we are accountable to the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to give an answer, eh, of how we're going in what we did in our Christian walk. And the faith man has a long-term reality. that we all have to give an account of what we've done, both good or bad. A faith man has great respect and awe and fear of God. We love God, we worship Him, but we tremble, you know. If we hear His voice like thunder, I don't know if you've ever been into a up north a thunderstorm there, when they hit you in the room there, and it's just like the voice of God, and it makes you shake in your boots. And so sometimes that's the awe that we have of God. If He speaks to us like that, well, no wonder we tremble. And we know that. And we have to share this. We are long-term believers, and we have to share with non-believers, eh? And we've got to assure other believers to be ready for the Lord's coming. We're going to stand before His judgment seat, and we've got to be occupied till Jesus comes. Be occupied doing what pleases Him. And a faith man is compelled to follow his master. They know the importance of being reconciled to God, eh? Being at peace with your neighbour, with your people in the house under the same roof. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Try to get it right so you can have a good sleep. No nightmares. And no sleepless nights. And Jesus was the Agnus Dei, the substitute Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And there it is, 15. And He died for all. That's you and me. Everyone there that went to the football last night, He died for them. And those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for Him who for their sake died and was raised. What a beautiful historic fact, and a beautiful memory about their Lord's death for us. That's what the faith man does. For our sake He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. God is making us better each day. I hope you see a better me than you saw last time, you know. I know I'm a bit old, but I hope you can see a little bit more faith in the Brother Keith there. And I hope I can see a bit more joy, a lot more sense of the Spirit, the guarantee of the Spirit's come, and there's a real sense of a life here in the church today. And like the little Sunday school song, follow, follow, I will follow Jesus, anywhere, everywhere, I will follow on, follow, follow, I will follow Jesus, anywhere with Jesus, I will follow on. So that's what Paul's talked about. I'm an old man. He talked about I'm a faith man. Now he says one of the most special things is I'm a new man. I'm a new man. And I want to read from 2 Corinthians 5, 16 to 21. Here it is, beautiful words. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, not the old man. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. There it is. We're a new man and woman. Old things, there's that old man again. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who can reconcile us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. We've got a job to do, beloved. That is that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to Himself, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Let's go. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For He made Him, and you know, sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. You know, when this little book I have here, I write about a six-line poem in this, and I always try to make two lines center on the cross, you know, center on Calvary, usually the middle two, and because that the cross is the center, eh? And we remember that each week when we come to the cross and the suffering, and so we've got to center on the cross, eh? It makes us a new man. It builds up our faith. And if Jesus can do it, again, He's given us His Holy Spirit, we can do it too, eh? We can continue on. Hallelujah. And so Paul's argument is, oh yes, I'm a new man now, because in Christ Jesus, I'm a new creation, and brother, I've got a work to do. I'm an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, we are workers together. All of us are workers together. And with Christ Jesus' help, He left His great Holy Spirit. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Yes, come, new man. A new woman, new person. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting us the message of reconciliation. Well, I don't think the false apostles could have said something like that, eh? I don't think the false apostles could have talked about the suffering like the apostle Paul did, eh? And sometimes, you know, when people say negative things about us, and we know deep down that they really haven't been through some of the things we've been through. Eh? But we've been reconciled to God, eh? And he's given us the ministry reconciled. Although someone may say something a bit, oh, well, where'd that come from? We've still got to be kind, you know? Still got to be merciful to them. And we've got to be reconciled. So my conclusion is that, yes, the Reconciliation Week poster says reconciliation is more than a word. It takes action, eh? And so Paul took action. His credentials, and of course the credentials of the gospel was at stake. So he had to say, well, had to argue. And then in this chapter 5, going into chapter 6, and just maybe a little bit at the end of chapter 4, he argues a three-point sermon, a real Baptist sermon. He says, I'm a new man, I'm a old man, I'm a new a faith man, but I'm a new man. Hey. Beloved, may we go this week, hey, with that three-man approach, three-person approach, hey, and reconciling, and nationally, internationally, longer than 21 years, may we go for 121 years, hey, and till our Lord returns. God bless you, and have a great reconciliation years. Hallelujah. Thanks, Peter.